Damn it, Emedy. The devil take this flute. Here I am, months of working hard to get a clear note. And there you are.
Yes.
All I can say, sir, is that this instrument doesn't recognise class, blood or colour. Damn it, you're a slave, Emedy. A slave. And yet when you play anything, it's as if slavery, imprisonment and coffee plantations never existed. How do you do it? That's what I want to know. Won't you tell me, Emedy? Tell me everything.
You are still so curious about my history?
Of course I am. I realise it cannot be anything but painful to revisit the past. But why not tell your story, not as a musician, but as a Burke or Diderot or Clarkson might, stating facts, dates, places? That would surely subdue the pain of recollection. That's it, my friend. Recount your story as I might in a pamphlet which I'm planning for the world's edification on the gross evils of a transatlantic slave trade. Please.
I will try. Perhaps you're right. But would you agree to a condition in return?
Name it.
I would ask you then not to publish what I tell you in your pamphlet, or in any way until I am dead. I do not want to be a proof for an equation.
But my dear Emedy, wouldn't you like to help in the fight for your Negro brethren? Don't you want your name and remarkable story to be used to combat the tyranny which steals thousands of souls from Africa each year? I ask you to reconsider in the name of every potential symphonist who dies on those slave ships, never having penned a note. In the name of every symphony orchestra sunk in the Atlantic.
I'm sorry. That's my condition.
All right. You are a hard taskmaster. But I agree.
Thank you. Then I will tell you, so far as I am able, my entire history, as though someone else were speaking for me. Joseph Antonio Emedy was born in West Africa, on the Guinea coast around the year 1772. He does not know what year exactly. At 10 or so years old, he and his family were stolen away from their home, and they were sold to different traders. Emedy subsequently made the Atlantic crossing to the northeast Brazil in the hold of a Portuguese ship, sharing his salubrious accommodation with 400 other live corpses. Once in Brazil, Emedy was sold to a plantation owner and was set to work picking coffee, his skills as a picker being none too impressive. However, he was eventually transferred to work in his master's house. Subsequently, in 1790, I think, he was taken back across the Atlantic by his master to Lisbon. There, Emedy was found to cherish such a love of music that his master, who had become almost a friend, supplied him with a violin and a teacher. In the course of 3 years, he became proficient enough to be admitted as one of the second violins in the Lisbon Opera, where he was strangely happy for a time, serving Mozart and Cimarosa instead of the Cat of Nine Tails. But in spring 1795, a British frigate, the Indefatigable, docked in the Tagus for repairs. As Emedy told you before, some of the ship's officers attended the opera and were so amused by his exuberant manner of his playing, they decided to volunteer him for service. Decided, that is, to enslave him a second time. The ship sailed from Lisbon, and Emedy was not permitted to set foot on land for 4 long years. because their officers could see from his face that he would desert at the first opportunity. 5 years in a scurvy-ridden sea of cannon fire, keel haulings, floggings, and music Mozart would have thrown to his dogs. Finally, in 1799, the ship's command changed, and Emedy was discharged at Falmouth. Even then, I could have pawned my violin and starved to death on the results. But instead, I carried on living by fiddling and showing others how to live by fiddling. And I also started to write down what I played. A few years later, I met a gentleman, a Mr. James Buckingham, who took such a fancy to what I had written down that he took me to Grosvenor Square in London to introduce my music to that great impresario, Johann Peter Solomon. What he and his fellow critics will think of it, and of me, my friend, I have no idea.